This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do, Stan?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What did you do last summer again?
I told you, I spent it with my uncle in Alaska hunting wolverines. They kept trying to attack my cousins. What the heck would you do in a situation like that?
Paul Perillo.
Are you going to eat your tots?
No.
Can I have them?
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today. Freaking idiot.
And Andy.
Well, you have a sweet bike, and you're really good at hooking up with chicks.
Andy Hart.
Plus, you're like the only guy at school who has a mustache.
That's true.
Some guy named Tom.
If you need to use any of my skills, I can do whatever you want. Plus, I could be your bodyguard, too. Or like Secret Service captain or whatever.
Sweet.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
She's the best thing that has ever happened to me. I'm 100% positive that she's my soulmate. I'm sure there's a babe out there for you, too. Peace out.
PFW in Progress.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life and make me look like a friggin' idiot?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred Kirsch and Tom's here. Fred and Tom. Okay, you can turn down the music. That's good. Excellent. All right. So what's going on, Tom?
Not much.
No. Jason has to run, right? You have to go? Jason's got to go. They're having some problems.
Okay. So what are we doing?
So we're going to just do the show.
All right.
So don't plan on any breaks for a while.
That's fine.
All right. Just me and you. Paul might be down because in our second hour, you know, now we do Patriots Friday from 4 to 7 on Patriots.com radio, and Mike Felger from the Boston Herald and ESPN Radio comes and joins us from our 1 to 2 hour because he does some live interviews. And Paul will probably come down because he can't stay away, you know, when there's a chance to talk to somebody from the real media.
Right.
You know, he just can't help himself. So I wouldn't be surprised if Paul comes down.
Now, we really don't really get that much time to talk, though, with the player interview.
Then if Paul comes, then Andy will come, because wherever Paul goes, Andy goes.
Well, it's kind of the other way around, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You think that it's more Paul's...
Paul doesn't like to be alone.
Paul doesn't?
No, he's definitely got an alone complex. Like, he can't, like, walk downstairs from the hotel alone. He can't... he's always got to be with somebody. He's afraid he's going to get lost or something.
Or maybe mugged. You know? Anyway, we'll be here until 2 o'clock taking your emails at webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482, but don't call because Jason just left, so we wouldn't be able to talk to you anyway. So give us an email at webradio@patriots.com. And I guess the big talk yesterday was how Bill Belichick was fooling around with Chad Johnson and you know, kind of just giving it back to Chad Johnson. And, you know, a lot of people think that Johnson is a little bit over the top, you know, but I think it's good for the game. I really do.
You can't find,
it's just football.
You can't find really anyone who disagrees with you. And you know what it is?
Well, his cousin disagrees with me.
Yeah, but he's an idiot.
All right.
I'm talking about rational human beings.
Okay.
You know what it is, though? It's kind of like the way he delivers it. Like, he was sitting there on the conference call. He was eating, and then he's like, well, can I talk some trash now? And what he says is, like, just so, like, goofy and stupid. Like,
right. You
can't take him seriously. Like, tell 37 I'm going to knock his helmet off.
It's not
like he's saying, you know, you go down there right now and tell Rodney Harrison, like the way that Mitchell did during the Super Bowl.
Right.
You could tell he was trying to get Harrison stirred up. When Johnson says it, you can't even take him seriously. You can just tell he's just being a jokester. And Rodney didn't take him seriously in the locker room, saying he guarantees he'll retire.
And it's kind of smart on Johnson's part, because now when Rodney sees him out in the field, it's like, fooling around with him, and maybe he won't hit him as hard as he normally would.
And I'll tell you what, though, the other thing I think, the other guys don't agree with me, though, he mentioned something I thought was funny. He said, Ellis Hobbs, I don't even know who he is. he knows who Ellis Hobbs is. He might not know him personally, but, and I think he knows that Hobbs is a talker too.
Right.
So he's holding back, waiting to get on the field, trying to get Hobbs out of his game.
Yeah.
See, Samuel knows him, Harrison knows him, so he probably can't really get them out of their game. But Hobbs, he might be able to get in a talking match with him and get him a little frustrated. So I thought it was interesting he kind of laid back and didn't go after Hobbs at all.
And, you know, with Hobbs, he is an emotional kind of guy.
Right.
So I could see him being sucked into
that. Yeah, and you know what? That's the whole thing with him not being in the locker room this week. I'm wondering if it's kind of, you know... Let's not have Ellis give the Bengals any kind of ammunition here. Like, you know, he's not afraid of Chad Johnson. He'll shut Chad Johnson. Because, you know, once Hobbs gets going, you know, it's hard to stop him.
Well, let's hope Hobbs plays.
Yeah.
I mean, right now with the Patriots injury report, I don't know if there's anyone healthy out back there except for Harrison. You know, surprise, surprise.
If any two of those guys don't play, they're in big trouble, no matter which two they are.
Oh,
two
yeah.
of them don't play, they're going to be in trouble.
Absolutely.
If Hobbs doesn't play, I mean,
yeah.
you're hurting.
I mean, they had
Because Hawkins is kind of like a safety slash corner.
Right.
And if him and Hobbs are both out, then you move Wilson a corner. He got Sanders back there. He's not known for coverage. Harrison has never been the best coverage guy. I mean, he's pretty good, but he's back from
Willie Andrews, but he's young.
Yeah, just you're gonna be hurting.
All right, so we'll talk a little bit about the Bengals. We did our picks yesterday, as you know. We do our picks on Thursday again, and we all picked the Bengals.
Yep.
Unfortunately, we all want to be wrong, but
except for Andy,
you know. I think we all think, yes, there is a way that the Patriots could win this game. You know, absolutely. They could run the ball. They could take time off the clock. They could pressure Carson Palmer. You know, the Bengals' offensive line, it's not they haven't necessarily kept Palmer clean so far this
year. They've had some injuries with Levi Jones missing most of the Steelers game with an ankle. Their center is the backup center now. So Levi Jones is important because he's one of their – best lineman
you
by
know,
far.
The thing about the Bengals, though, is they keep you honest. You can't
right.
just rush the passer because he can throw screens.
And the Patriots, it's not like they're putting a ton of pressure on the quarterback anyway.
Anyway, so...
they did against the Jets, but other than that, you know, they had the safety and some... But the Broncos, they were non-existent.
So, you know, we'll see what happens there. We all think that there is a way, but we just don't think right now the Patriots are ready to take, to implement, to execute that way. Talk to me at the end of the season. I'll probably, you know, figuring that, you know, I think they're going to improve like they, I think they will, if they improve like I think they will, talk to me at the end of the season, I'll pick the Patriots. But I really think that right now this is a bad matchup for the Patriots.
Yeah. After what we saw on Sunday, it's hard to pick them to go into Cincinnati and beat the team that most people feel is one of the top three in the league right now in their home stadium.
And really, you know, picking the top team at week three, granted, that doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't mean nothing.
But, you know,
but that's when
playing. You have four good receivers like they do, you know, they're four deep.
Mm-hmm.
Their top four receivers, their fourth guy would definitely be one or two on the Patriots right now. You know, who's that? Kelly Washington. He would be one or two on the Patriots right now. So, you know, and then you look at the state of the Patriots' defensive backfield. They're all banged up. You know, and even when they weren't banged up, they're just not ready.
Not even that. I mean, the way the Broncos ran the ball on them. I mean, McGahee got 99 yards on them. Bell had over 100. I mean, they got Rudy Johnson sitting back there. If you're playing the pass, they can pound them up the middle with Rudy Johnson. So it's a double-edged sword there.
It is. They're a balanced offense, so it's going to be very tough. I mean, you know, I'm going to be at the edge of my seat. I'm going to be looking at every play like this is a play that could lead to something, you know, every good play that the Patriots make, and I'll be there hoping. But I just can't honestly say, oh, the Patriots are going to win this game.
Right.
And I, you know me, if I think there's a chance,
yeah, right.
You know, I'm going to pick the Patriots. But that chance this game is just not big enough.
I think they need Maroney to have his breakout game in this game. Like, pound the ball with Dillon and Maroney, but get some big plays out of the running game from Maroney. You know, maybe a 30-yarder, maybe a 40-yarder, you know, so, to move the ball down the field. So I think if Maroney has a big game on the ground and Dillon comes in there and pounds that line, softens him up, that's the way they're going to win the game. If they can't run the football, they're going to be in a whole heck of a lot of trouble.
All right. Any other news? I mean, we went to Belichick today. A lot of Paul Brown talk about how Paul Brown was the inventor of a lot of things that really kind of made football professional.
Mm-hmm.
He implemented a lot of the stuff on the field and off the field, really, that kind of, you know, other coaches and GMs have copied since then to kind of make teams
Michael Felger almost catching Belichick off guard, asking about a player who's injured and hasn't played yet this year. I think for a second Belichick thought to himself, wait a minute, is Chris Perry playing?
Well, I had a laugh, though, because, you know, just so our listeners know what's going on, there was all this talk about Paul Brown, and then Michael Felger asked a question, you know, completely off the off the topic about how do the Bengals use Chris Perry, the running back, as a third down back? Well, Chris Perry's been injured.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a laugh because he was reading PFW while he was looking at the depth chart that we publish that had Chris Perry in there. So he just read the depth chart, saw Chris Perry's name, and just assumed, okay, he's the third down back.
So he didn't see the – did we have him listed as injured?
I'm not sure.
Whatever, we put in whatever they give us.
Right.
So, well, supposedly.
So I'm not sure if, you know, he was you know,
but I mean, even if he listened to Chad Johnson's conference call, he said when we get Chris Perry and Chatham, the receiver, Chapman, and Antonio Chapman back, our offense is going to be scary. So even if he heard that, he must register that, hey, Chris Perry hasn't been playing.
It was just so funny because he was reading PFW, then he asked the question, and then when Bill said, yeah, I don't know if he's on IR or hurt, you know, he went back and looked at our depth chart like, wait a minute, I'm reading, you know. So we're going to have to give him a hard time about that when he shows up at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, or for not knowing anything about the Bengals.
Well, there you go. webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. Other NFL news, of course, the whole T.O. saga. Now the police have come out and said that it was a case of an accidental overdose of a painkiller. There's still, you know, we've talked about this ad nauseum, but still, with T.O., it's always something.
Yeah, well, I thought the one thing was interesting that his friend, who's a personal trainer or something, said that...
He got fired, you know. He fired him.
Oh, he did?
This morning, he fired him.
Oh, jeez. But I thought it was interesting that he said that, you know, his fiance called off the wedding and that... He couldn't see his son on his seventh birthday, and it kind of... The one thing, and I don't make any excuses for T.O., but the one thing is, if you look at his upbringing and everything, I think there's a chance that he could be clinically depressed, like bipolar or something along those lines. And if he is, it at least helps explain some of this just erratic behavior that we've seen the last couple of years. And to be quite honest with you, if he does have those problems, the Cowboys or whatever team he's on should really start looking into it instead of just putting him on the field to score a touchdown every now and then, because he's obviously got some mental issues that he needs to take care of.
Absolutely.
He's not doing this for the money. Deion Sanders did it for the money, and he didn't act like this. It's. I mean, he created T.O., but T.O. was created in his mind as something. Deion Sanders created primetime to get rich, and he said that publicly many times. It's a different story. T.O.'s got something wrong with him.
So, yeah, it's interesting. With the whole press conference that he had and then the police report and the fact that the Cowboys allowed this publicist to come in and do her press conference and, you know...
She looked good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's always something with T.O., and I agree with you. I think that there's just something wrong with him.
Well, and I thought Chris Mortensen said it best the other day. He said he was talking to a coach who was interested in T.O. at first, but when they sat down and discussed him, they said to themselves, are we ready to deal with something every week? Like, even if it's not his fault, like, this might not even be Owens' fault, but it's still something.
Right.
And with T.O., it's every week, whether the broken finger, which obviously isn't his fault, but you have a circus surrounding no matter what happens with him, and the coaching staff decided, you know what, it's just not worth all that, and they backed off. But that's true. Even if he gets injured, and it's not something that he, you know, did on purpose, it's still a circus. It still takes away from your football team.
You know, like I said, he did fire his trainer this morning for revealing that information. So, all right, email address is webradio@patriots.com. Give us an email. We got a few in here already. One of them's from a guy named Barry, and he wants to kick Gary off the show.
Why's that?
He says, the show would be better if without the sound bites. They're distracting. They run all over the dialogue. He obviously amuses himself and thinks he's hilarious, but it just isn't funny and detracts from an otherwise great show. The intro is annoying, but at least I can forward past all that garbage on my iPod. So keep up the great work, but kick Gary out.
Well, today you have your dream. There's no Gary here. There's no drop-ins.
No,
so
nothing.
So listen to this show. If everyone thinks this is better, email in and we'll get rid of Gary.
I guess Jason, I guess football ops are having a problem with a sound system out in the practice field.
Oh, are they?
So he had to go run out there. So, you know, I don't know what's going on. They're probably doing some crowd noise stuff to get ready for playing in the jungle.
The jungle.
You know? But it's interesting. You know, some people hate me. Some people hate everyone. Has an opinion
right
on the show, and that's okay. But Gary's not going anywhere. You know, you know, if you don't like it, like you said, just fast forward it on your iPod. And that's the great thing now, Tom. You can download the show to your iPod.
Yeah.
Do you have an iPod yet?
No.
Why not?
I just don't have one yet. I wouldn't know how to download the show if I did.
It's very easy.
I know it's easy. I don't know.
Did you see The Office last night?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, but was it good?
It was good. I mean, obviously, nothing can come back from that first one and be as funny because that was the best one ever.
Right.
But it's still pretty funny.
Okay. I'm going to download it and watch it tomorrow on the plane.
Oh, okay. So. See, that's the kind of stuff I need.
You have it. You have a laptop. That's all you need.
I thought you needed an iPod.
No. You can watch it on your laptop.
Oh, okay.
You could just you have iTunes?
No.
Well, that's free.
I did on the one that got stolen.
Yeah, so just download iTunes, and then you can download The Office.
Oh, all right.
And then you can watch it on your laptop.
All right.
It's not hard. Don't be afraid of this stuff.
I'm not. I'm afraid of the price. I don't have money.
Well,
no,
iTunes
is
free. The show's $1.99.
No, the iPod I can't really afford right now.
Oh.
That's the reason why I don't have one of those.
Okay.
Plus, you know, I'm after that. I'm waiting for that serious.
Just tell you the Stiletto came out?
It's the portable.
Yeah,
one,
it's called the Stiletto 100. It's a new serious device that like the XM one, but it also has. It's like a DVR. You can tape up to, I think, 10 hours of programming. You can fast forward.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Plus, you can listen live. But also,
I've been waiting for.
It's got a thing now where. It's got Wi-Fi, too, so if you're in a hot zone, you can listen to Sirius over the Wi-Fi and not even worry about the satellite connection.
So what's Wi-Fi?
Well, a wireless laptop, you know how that works, right?
Right.
So that's what Wi-Fi is.
Oh, so it's just
so Sirius offers some of their programming over the Internet. Like all the music, Howard Stern, you can listen to over the Internet.
So you can get that on.
So this acts like an Internet device as well.
Oh. I got to get that. There's my Christmas present right there. We're all set for Christmas.
Yeah, so, but it's steep. It's like $350.
That's not, for Christmas, that's not bad. There's my present, $350.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna look into it. I don't know if I'm going to get it yet, though.
Let me be the guinea pig.
Yeah, well, I don't have a need to walk around.
Right.
I've got it in my car and at home, so that's kind of the only places I listen to it. You know, but then again, once you're a subscriber, you can also listen over your laptop and,
right,
you know. So that's cool. The only problem with that, it's all the music you can listen to your laptop, and you can listen to Howard Stern, but only select other stuff. So I don't know if the NFL Network.
Yeah, the NFL Network.
Which is important to me.
Right.
You know? What good is it if I, you know.
I'm sure at some point they'll probably start offering more and more, if not all of it.
Yeah. All right. Dave is in Falcons country, Buford, Georgia. He says, as I watch the Patriots this season, I see a very talented team at all positions on both sides of the ball. I feel that they seem to be a half step out of step. And if they get it together, I think that there isn't a team that could beat them. I know they don't look like a Super Bowl team at this moment, but if they gain that half a step, I think they're Super Bowl champs. What do you think?
I think you're kind of on the right track with a half a step, but I'll tell you what, they're a half a step. They're a half a step slow. Fred, you made the comment during the Broncos game. They're just a lot faster than us.
Oh, they were.
I think there's a chance that at some positions the Patriots are getting a little older and a little slower on defense, meaning the linebackers. And I thought that was evident against the Broncos, and it may be evident again this week. I feel like they've come up with schemes in the past, and I'm wondering if teams are now able to beat those schemes. Like, nobody really sits there and breaks down everything the Texans are doing because they haven't won 3 Super Bowls in the last 5 years. But when you're on top, people kind of study your films, they look at what you're doing, and I'm wondering if those same schemes that they've used in the past are having the same success because teams now know different ways to beat them.
Well, I mean, you're right, I think Denver was much faster. Their defense was much faster than the Patriots' offense. But, you know, there's ways to beat that, too, if you execute it. You play power football, and you get a helmet on everybody, and you just run it down their throats. The problem was, you know, like, for example, I saw one play where Ian Gold was tied up with a block, and he kind of had his back to the hole. So, in other words, the offensive lineman wasn't on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
Either that or the running back picked the wrong hole because Maroney picked a hole and all Ian Gold did was release and back up into the hole and he made the tackle. It was a great play by Ian Gold to kind of have that peripheral vision to see that Maroney was going behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And all he did was back up from the blocker and he was right. He filled the hole. So it's little things like that that Denver was doing, you know, really well that stopped the Patriots' running game.
I think to say that the Patriots are a half step and that they'll be Super Bowl champions at this point, there's no way I'm saying that.
Well, I think they're not far. I think
they have the Colts and the Bengals coming up.
That's
I look at it on the field. Last year, you know, the Kansas City game was it for me. When they went to Kansas City, I thought they had turned things around a little bit. Then they got beat pretty bad, and then they started beating up on these bad teams. I just didn't care anymore because I want to see you beat the good teams. And they played one good team and lost. If they play the other good team on Sunday and lose, then they play the Colts and lose. You know, I just don't care if they beat the Jets. So what? The Jets won't be in the playoffs.
You're right.
They got to start doing what they used to do, and that's take on the best teams and beat them.
Yep. And during that run, that's exactly what. No one had a better record against teams with winning records than the Patriots.
And that's how you win in the playoffs. You're going to be playing those same teams in the playoffs. It's not all of a sudden going to turn around for you.
No, that's true. There's no denying that. You can't just beat up on, you know, the weak teams, kind of walk, you know, get into the playoffs that way and expect to
win
well.
The Super Bowl,
you know. Let's see. Dear Fred, Paul, Andy, and Tom, this is from Steve in, where's he from? Where's Steve from? He's from London, England. I knew there was a reason I wanted to see where he was from. I've been just watching the highlights of the Pats and Broncos game, and I have some comments on the Gostkowski block field goal attempt. I know a little something about this, as I have to kick penalties for a local amateur rugby team here in England. Well, there we go. See, we have all kinds of listeners.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. They all bring something to the table. He goes on to say, firstly, I noted that his foot strikes the ball quite high up, which is helpful for distance, but it means that the ball has quite a low trajectory, meaning it's easier to bat down and block. And secondly, the holder of the ball seems to be too near to the special team kick protection guys. It also has got to be said that the field at Foxborough was in pretty poor shape, particularly between the hash marks. I did notice, I think they replanted all the way up the field.
Yeah,
there's a big strip right down the middle that they put a bunch of seed down. I smelled manure a couple days ago, so you know they heavily fertilized it. And then yesterday they had sort of a tarp over it.
Over it,
and
yeah.
What that does, I think it keeps the heat and the moisture in. So it really, you know, promotes fast growth. And then today it's raining here in Foxborough, so that'll help too.
Right.
So then we need a little sun. We'll be okay. But it is a mess. Anyway, he goes on to say, my question to you is, do you think that the special teams and kicking coaches will attempt to change Guskowski's kicking style, or will they simply practice and hope to boost his confidence? In my opinion, they need to get a veteran kicker in to work with Guskowski, because this is something that is not going to correct itself. They could bring back Gramatica to work with. No, they can't now, because Gramatica signed with the Colts, right?
Yeah.
But that might not work, because Gramatica's kicks in camp also look to be low, and this could prove troublesome. Keep up the good work. There are lots of fans that are relying on your podcast. And remember, I still believe. His prediction is Pats 24, Bengals 21. So.
Yeah, it's like the second person all week to pick the Pats.
What do you think about that?
There may be something to that, yeah. He was, the only thing I would say is that he was kicking fine before that.
Right, he was kicking fine. I did notice I have a still picture one of our photographers took of the block field goal, and I have a picture of his plant foot, and a big piece of dirt and turf is kicking up from that, so I know he didn't have sure footing.
Yeah, he slipped. And,
you have to do is slip back a little bit, then your foot raises up on the ball. You know?
I did a story on him this week for the paper, and he said that he needs to shorten up his stride on the bad fields so that his plant foot doesn't slip like that. He said, you know, he hadn't really been used to playing at Gillette before. Now that he's played,
but
here,
you got to work on that. I mean,
no, I know, but he's just saying.
Before the game is for it go on those.
I'm just saying what he's saying. His stride was too long and it caused him to slip. So. That was his take on it.
But you're right. He was kicking fine before, so I wouldn't change a lot of things. I just,
I mean, obviously, if it happens again, that's a problem.
Doug from Blackstone writes in, Chad Johnson is obviously a great player, and his sense of humor I find refreshing. I really enjoy it when players can make the game entertaining on and off the field. Chad Jackson is a mystery. I know the reason for him not being on the field is in question, but what's your gut feeling? Is he really injured? Is he not getting the offense? Is he Bethel Johnson? Thanks for your time. I'm Doug from Blackstone, but not for long. I just bought a house, and I'll be moving.
Okay.
Congratulations, Doug. Where are you moving to? I hope it's still within New England. But Chad Jackson, I know we've all said that it's got to be something besides the hamstring.
I don't know if it's the playbook, but here's the facts. He practiced all week. Before he played against the Jets on Sunday, practiced all week, didn't play against the Broncos, then practiced all this week. So you tell me how hurt it
is. We were told by one insider that it is absolutely not the playbook.
Right.
So now he didn't say what it is. Now it could be the hamstring, but it's not the playbook. So did he miss a meeting? Did he miss a treatment appointment? I don't know. I don't know. All we know as fans is we want his ass out there.
Right. And it has to be in order for this offense to get any better, because he's the most talented receiver that they have. Maybe the youngest, but he's still the most talented.
Got to get him the reps.
I don't want to see Jonathan Smith trotting out on the field anymore.
You know, if the Patriots are going to have any chance toward the end of the season, he's got to get his reps now
right. So
that he's ready then. Dave in Atlanta. It's our second Georgia email. He says, I'm sorry to disagree with it seems like everyone. I do think the Patriots are going to win. I feel like they've been about a half step off so far this season. But I think it all starts to come together this weekend when they need it. I have thought from the start when they got Gabriel that if they really get him involved, that they really won't miss Branch that much. And I think they get Gabriel involved a lot this weekend.
Well, I'll just tell you this. We saw Gabriel play against the Jets when somebody was in his face and he couldn't get off the line. We saw Gabriel play in the fourth quarter against the Broncos when they were in a prevent and he looked great. So if the Bengals play prevent in the first quarter, then maybe he'll do good. But if he doesn't get off the line any better than he did against the Jets, then he won't, because he had a terrible time in that game. And he played quite a bit. I mean, he was on the field in that. I mean, people forget, like all of a sudden the Broncos game was his first game. He was on the field in that Jets game, and he was a non-factor.
And he was also on the field during the third quarter in the Broncos game.
Right.
You know, and he did nothing. A lot of people think that, you know, he didn't play until the fourth quarter when he made all those catches.
He was basically doing outs on prevent defenses, and Brady was just hitting them on, you know, 7-8 yard outs, and the Broncos said, fine, just keep the clock running. And now, might that help build for the future? Maybe. But I'm just saying, I need to see more than garbage time receptions. And, you know, Aaron Brooks used to get a lot of those in New Orleans, a lot of garbage time yards. He was a good fantasy quarterback because he always seemed to throw for 300 yards. But, you know, they were down 41-10. So I don't look a lot into the garbage time. If he does it in Cincinnati when it means something, then I'll, you know, I'll take my hat off to him and say, then we might have something here.
But you were high on Gabriel when...
No, I'm still... I'm not throwing him... I'm just saying it was obvious in the Patriots game, in the Jet game, that he still wasn't comfortable. And they didn't use him in the first half against the Broncos. And then he caught those passes. It kind of got people excited. I just hope they're not getting too excited too early, because maybe he's still not ready to make that kind of contribution. Okay. I'm wondering where Dave Thomas is. I think he could help the offense in the middle of the field and things, and he hasn't played hardly at all. I just don't know. You're drafting these tight ends, you don't want to use them. I don't know what that means.
Well, they used him a little in the Jets game. He had the nice catch across the middle and went for 29 yards.
Season.
So do we start looking at Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick about the play calling and the usage of the personnel? Or
if you're gonna make it a priority to draft pass-catching tight ends, I'm expecting to see him catch passes. You know, I keep hearing the excuse, well, they use Graham in the block. Well, they're not using Thomas to block because he can't block. His coaches told us that. I saw it in the...
Maybe that's why they're not using him a lot.
But you know what? He can line up off the tackle and, you know, on a third and seven.
But if you know that Thomas can't block...
I'm talking on passing downs.
But if you know that Thomas can't block, okay, that other teams know that he can't block. So
right.
They know when he's in the game, he's not in there to block.
But on third and eight...
But in
third
and
eight, it's a passing down.
I know, but if you're third and eight, you got two tight ends in there, and Thomas is one of them, he's probably going to be the one that they're going to be looking to because he can't block.
I'm talking about splitting them out wide instead of those crappy receivers that they have. I'm talking about taking Thomas and Watson and lining them up off the tackles. That way, if two guys go to Watson, Thomas can run through the middle of the field with one-on-one coverage, and I don't think people can cover him one-on-one. I think he's got some skills where
you
they
think
can,
he's that good?
I think they can utilize him. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is instead of, you know, putting Jonathan Smith out there who has no chance of ever catching a pass, how about taking the guy that at least has some talent on I know what you're saying about the blocking, but I'm talking on strictly passing downs on a third down. That's where I think he can be effective. Get open in the middle of the field, have Brady get the ball to him, first down.
A lot of people think that in this game, Kevin Falk's going to have a huge game and that he should be starting on a fantasy team.
Well, I'm playing somebody who has Kevin Falk, so...
Oh, you might be in trouble.
Oh, my team's way too good for this bum, but...
How are you doing in your fantasy?
I'm doing good. I'm 2-1. I lost one game by 2 points.
Who are you playing this week?
Eric.
Eric?
Yeah, he's got Gostkowski, the New England defense, and Kevin Falk. He's got them all playing.
He's got the New England defense,
yeah.
Huh?
Wow. Good luck with that.
Well, no, a lot of people think that Falk might have a big game. Because, you know, the Patriots are going to come out passing. They're going to, you know, because everyone thinks, oh, they're going to run the ball down their throat. But what they're going to do is they're going to come out passing, short passing, you know, not downfield, but using the pass like a run, soften them up a little bit. Then they'll hit them with the runs up the middle.
I think they need a lot of that, the short passing, the running, that kind of mix. So I wouldn't be surprised by that at all.
You know, and so.
And I'm surprised that Falk doesn't have more receptions up to this point. You know, I thought he'd be a bigger part of the offense, and he hasn't really. Maybe it's because they're lining him out wide and stuff, but he hasn't really done as much as I thought he would.
You know, I don't know what the Patriots playbook looks like, but when you look at it, you know, you've got Falk who can catch the ball. Maroney has proven he can really catch the ball and get yards after the catch. You know, then you got the tight ends. I don't care what the defense is. There has to be a way all the time for the Patriots to find a way to move that ball.
It's certainly better than they did last week.
I don't care how bad the receivers are right now. There's got to be a way to open up that field and spread out defenses to move that ball. especially with Tom Brady as the quarterback.
Well, who's the starting receivers in Pittsburgh? Hines Ward is playing at about 75%. They got Cedric Wilson. They got Santonio Holmes. They don't have anybody.
Right.
They move the ball on the Bengals.
Yeah.
So, like you said, there's got to be a way to – just because you have bad receivers doesn't mean you shouldn't be getting a first down ever.
Right. Let's see. Josh in Jacksonville says, I just wanted to say that I love the sound bites. They add some funny bits to the show. If you guys talk strictly football for the whole 2 hours, then the show would sound like the Jacksonville Jaguars radio show. Very bland and a bad listening experience. Keep up the good work, but get some Family Guy sound bites in there. You know, so there you go. There's someone. Now, other times when we start fooling around and we talk about anything but football, we get emailers that email us, talk about football! So it's Abraham Lincoln was right. You can't please everyone all the time.
Yep.
Did he say that, or is he?
I don't know.
The one that says you can fool some of the people some of the time, and all of the, I don't know, whatever.
I haven't read a book in a while.
Well, you don't have to read a book to know that. Why don't you read books, Tom?
I'm more interested in football.
Well, there's football books. Read some football books.
I got the Belichick book. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Gary Kramer book from the Packers, Run to Daylight.
Yeah.
It's a classic, you know?
Yeah.
Harris Polk. What?
With all the TV, who's got time?
That's true. a Harris poll came out today. You know what the Harris polls are? Based on the NFL. They're asking fans over the country all about the NFL. Interesting one. Top five teams as far as most popular in America.
Dallas.
Tell me what you think they were.
Dallas, Pittsburgh, Miami. Washington and Green Bay.
Number one was Pittsburgh.
That doesn't surprise me.
Number two was Dallas.
That's my 70s theory.
Okay. Number three were the Colts.
Wow.
Believe it or not. And I think having Peyton Manning on every other commercial helps that. Number four was Green Bay. And number five was your New England Patriots.
Oh, well, that's Tom Brady.
You know? So I thought that was interesting.
So I got three out of the five. It's three of the old schools, and then the two, two are the newer teams that have kind of come up.
And you know, it's interesting. Hey, Jason's back. Jason, how's everything out there?
They're practicing hard. Good goal line plays. Brady looks sharp, rocket arm.
Good. They got the noise going all right?
They did.
Okay, good. You know, I think that the NFL comes out with the rankings for the team sites, the websites every year, and consistently the Patriots are in the top, what they call quartile, which is the top 25% of the league. So what is that? We have 32 teams divided by four. That's like the top six, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. Anyway, I can't do math.
No,
anyway,
top eight.
Top eight. Well, the Patriots are always in that top quartile. And that makes sense, you know, because I'll bet, I know Dallas is in Green Bay have two of the top websites in terms of traffic. So it definitely correlates to, you know, overall popularity and the traffic on the website. But I was very pleased to find out that the Patriots are number five.
I'm surprised Miami isn't in there because I thought they would be.
They just haven't won enough lately. You know,
you get the Dallas and Pittsburgh, and it'll be another 10 to 20 years, but they'll always be number one, two, because so many people became fans of those two teams in the 70s when they were the two winningest
teams. And Jerry
teams.
Jones, even though they haven't won in a long time, you know, having Bill Parcells and Terrell Owens and, you know,
but I'm just saying, you have so many core fans for those two teams from back when they
absolutely
were building, and the NFL was just building at that point to what it is now.
Now, are you surprised the Giants aren't in the top five? I mean, they could be number six. I don't know.
But. Yeah, I thought I was going to go with either the Redskins or the Giants for my last pick, so I figured they'd be right around there, right up there.
Yeah, so...
That's good. The Patriots are... The Colts kind of surprised me, but I guess you're right with Peyton Manning. I don't hear a lot of people say I really love the Colts.
No, I don't either. And, you know, Indianapolis isn't that big a market.
Yeah.
But apparently, you know, they're getting...
So it's the offense. It's what it is. Like casual fans who don't really have a team probably like watching the Colts because of their offense. They put a lot of points on the board. They're fun to watch.
Yeah. So, Yeah, that was the one surprise that I thought, other than the Patriots a little bit, because as much as we love them, you know, just the national, people more hate us than love us.
Winning three out of five championships, you're going to build fans around the country.
Right.
And that's what they
and
do.
I think you're right. Tom Brady helps a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. And on the phone right now is Phil from Austin. Phil, how you doing?
Hey, Fred. Good. How are you?
Good.
And I agree with Tom about David Thomas. I think Daniel Graham catches about half the passes that are thrown to him. I don't think he's ever going to get any better.
I agree.
I think David Thomas should – I think Vince Young should probably have given about a third of his signing bonus to David Thomas. I think he could become Brady's favorite receiver if they give him a chance.
But here's the thing, and, you know, I think he's got a lot of talent, too. I saw the same things Tom did in training camp. The guy's like a vacuum. But here's the thing. When you got a quarterback like Brady, you don't want to limit his options once he steps to the line. And if you want to check out of a play to one where now the tight end has to block, and one of your tight ends is Dave Thomas, you are limiting Tom Brady. That's my only thing.
Well, you know what? If he's that bad of a blocker, then they shouldn't have drafted him that high. End of story.
Maybe they think he can be one, but he's not yet. So you know, that's why he's not getting as many reps.
Well, people who say Daniel Graham isn't a bust because he stays in and block, those are apologists for Belichick and Pioli's drafting. Daniel Graham, they traded up to get him. He was an absolute stud at Colorado. They didn't draft him to be an extra tackle. They drafted him to be a receiving tight end.
No, you're
and
right.
And he stinks.
You're right.
He doesn't catch, I mean, like Phil said, he drops half as many as he catches. So, you know, maybe you're right. They're just waiting until next year. Graham won't be here. And then Thomas.
Well, that's the thing. And Phil, that's also a thing where I think you and Tom are onto something because Graham is a free agent next year. And, you know, who knows what he's going to be looking for. And he doesn't have the speed of Dave Thomas. Thomas is faster.
Speaking of next year, why don't the Patriots go ahead and sign Copeland and Samuel to extensions right now?
It's a good question.
That's a good. And you know what? See, Phil, I want you to call in next year, okay, if this happens. If they hit the open market and I have to hear the fans tell us that, well, other teams valued them more than the Patriots did, so they didn't want to re-sign them, all that same stuff that we keep hearing.
Yeah.
Call in and remind us that, well, they could have actually signed them now.
Sure.
And not had them hit the open market. So
they've got the money. They've got, and I think it would do a lot of good in that locker room to hand out, you know, a $5 million signing bonus to Dan Copeland and probably the same or more to Samuel.
I agree. If they feel like that they want to sign one of them or both of them long term, it should be getting done now, because once they hit the open market,
yeah,
you know, a starting center and a starting corner, I mean, especially Samuel, he's going to get the money that corners have gotten the last couple of years on the open market has been mind-boggling.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he's going to get huge money that the Patriots
will. Well, maybe he knows that. Maybe that. I mean, I can't believe that they haven't opened up talks with that. But maybe Samuel is asking for some crazy thing. I don't know.
Well, you know, the Patriots have this quote value system, but it works both ways. I mean, if you look at what they paid Starks, what they paid Poole when they signed him, it's pretty obvious that they placed a value of about $2 to $3 million off on a typical starting caliber NFL cornerback.
Yep.
And I think they're way under the cap this year for several reasons. One is they're paying their wide receivers way less than they would under their value system. They have two corners working under their rookie contracts, and the center. Center probably is a part. Most teams, it's a, you know, $2.5 to $3 million position for a decent center. And I know Copeland got a bump last year, but he's still in his rookie contract.
No, but, you know, at the same time, Phil, you have to admit that because of that, they are in good shape, salary cap-wise.
I agree, but you know, I think it would be money well spent this year to try and sign at least. You may be right about Samuel. He figures there's a big payday up ahead, but Copeland's a guy they could probably sign now. I'm pretty sure he wants to stay in New England, and I don't know why they haven't signed him already.
Maybe they're waiting to see how really his shoulder comes back. Maybe he's still not 100%, and they're waiting to see whether, you know, how you know, much you know, more fully he can come back from that shoulder injury. I don't know.
Well, yeah, they may be waiting, but there may be some other teams out there in free agency who are waiting too.
It's a game you have to play, and you're right. So far, the last 2 years, the Patriots have not been on the long end of that stick.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things have, you know, not worked out. You know, we were talking about the other day, Phil. If you look at all the things that happened this offseason individually, any one of them, you could say, yeah, I could see where the Patriots would do what they did, or I can't disagree with it. But when you add them all up collectively,
yeah,
and then it adds up to a bad offseason. You can't deny that.
Right.
So at some point, they got to start turning the corner, and, you know, maybe, like you said, they have to just pay out some money just to get the ball rolling in the other direction here.
Well, I think it's great when you can draft guys in the middle rounds and get them to play for 3 or 4 years at low dollars. But I think sometimes when you don't recognize that somebody's outperforming their contract, you really are penny wise and pound foolish not to address that situation before they become free agents.
In the Patriots' defense, you know, they have done that with some players, Mike Vrabel, Jarvis Green.
Phil is saying, you know what, this isn't the Pittsburgh Pirates. They're not developing players for the rest of the league to come and take once they're good. At some point, you got to start signing your own good players.
That's true. That's true. And like I said, they have done it with some guys.
Some.
Yep. You know?
We'll have to see if it's enough.
Okay, Phil, anything else before we say goodbye?
No, thanks. Have a good weekend. I hope Rodney lays somebody out on Sunday.
All right.
Take care.
All right, that's Phil from Austin. Rob from Arlington, Virginia writes in, you're doing a great job this week of pointing out the problems with the Pats. I agree that the defense has had problems creating turnovers the past 2 years. I also agree it's time to see some game-changing plays by Seymour. I think another major problem on defense is the pass rush. It seems that there aren't enough hurries and sacks. On offense, it seems like the plays take too long to develop. This may be due to the receivers not being talented enough to get open. Maybe Tom Brady does better with the smaller, quicker receivers, like Branch, than he does with bigger receivers. I love the sound bites. Please add more Homer quotes. Well, we were talking about that yesterday, about Richard Seymour.
Yeah, and the thing about the pass rush is, the one game they got sacks on Pennington, it was kind of, well, he was looking around and couldn't find anybody, and then they got to him. Where's the ones where they're in there in 2 seconds?
Well, I was, you know, with the Jets game, they were in a 4-3.
Right, yeah.
And they were generating, I thought, some hurries and sacks in the 4-3. In the Denver game, they were strictly 3-4. And now, you don't know if it's by design that they really, you know, they didn't blitz much.
Right.
Right? So you don't know, you know, how much that affected it or not and what the game plan was. Maybe their game plan for Plummer was the same one that the Broncos had for Brady, which is let's just stay back, you know, maintain our, our position on the line and not blitz and let's, you know, dare Plummer to beat us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he did.
He did.
But, you know, so I don't know. I would like to see more sacks. I think every fan does because that's the sexy thing. You know, up until last game, you have to admit we were all over Roosevelt Colvin because he was having such a great season.
Yeah.
Last game, he was invisible. Yeah, he didn't do anything. I don't think he had a stat to his name game.
Since I've been here, I just think in pass defense, they haven't gotten to the quarterback enough and they haven't created turnovers enough. That's something that they've done here ever since Belichick arrived, and it's two things that they've just...
Well, the turnover thing's a whole... You know, that's kind of started last year, toward the end of the year. They stopped really getting those turnovers, and it's continued now into this year. You're right. I mean, that is a big thing. Every defense wants to create those turnovers. I'll say this, though. You know, maybe this is just the Denver receivers aren't that good, but they did break up a lot of plays with big hits, you know, and maybe that's just the Broncos weren't holding on to the ball. But Chad Scott had a nice hit that broke up a play. There were a couple others I can't remember, but Patriots hits causing drops, you know.
It just seemed like in the past there'd always be, like every game, a couple of, like Wilson, Brewski.
They should have had a turnover last game. I thought that was a bad call by the ref. I think Paul disagrees with me. He thinks that the guy didn't make a football move with the ball. But I thought the one that popped out and Brewski picked, I thought that was a fumble.
Yeah. I think maybe technically they can get away without calling it a fumble. But I'm in the John Madden school. If it's a fumble, it's a fumble.
Right.
You know, if your eyes tell you it's a fumble, it's a fumble. But they get away with these technical things where, well, he didn't quite do this, but it was a, you know.
Ball thought that he only got 1 foot down before he dropped it. You know, I don't know. I thought it was a fumble. But it was a quick ball call by the ref. You can't challenge that type of play. So, you know, that was the end of it. That would have been a turnover that they had caused. Again, and that was on a big hit, too. I forget who made the hit. I forget.
I can't remember.
Was it Wilson?
It might have been Wilson.
Yeah. I mean, again, it was another big hit that caused a drop. So that's encouraging. You want to see your backfield hitting hard. All right, let's see. Len LaPadula writes in, I hope you don't mind a completely unrelated question. You can play some annoying sound bites if you do. Why did the league make a rule about onside kicks that requires players to be spread evenly across the field? How will this affect the chances of making a successful onside kick? Since Belichick calls the Bengals' offensive style play explosive, what do you think the chances he might try to squeeze in an unexpected onside kick to try to keep the ball away from the Bengals' offense? I think he did this once last year against the Colts.
The onside kick thing was for injury purposes. Like actually Bill said at his press conference today, most rule changes are based on injury. And they felt that too many people were colliding into each other when everybody was on one side. So they went to the, you have to have a couple guys on the other side. As far as sneaking an onside kick in, I think that's something you see on film. If they see that their guys are just leaving without looking and they can get one in, they will. But if the Bengals are taught to stand there for a couple of seconds and wait and he doesn't think he can get one, he's not going to want to give their offense field position at, you know, at the 50.
Right. You know, what would happen, guys with, you know, when the onside kick, they line up 10 guys on one side of the ball and just plow everybody over. And, you know, the Olindo Mare way of kicking, you have it bounce once and then it pops way up in the air. You know, everybody would just, you know, they'd have one guy or two guys assigned to catch that pop up and the rest of the guys were running down just to kill people.
Right.
And that's what was happening. Guys were getting killed, so they changed that rule. Doug from Blackstone again. Says that Tom Brady has not been playing like his old self. He's been very inaccurate with his passes. He's had a lot of high and low throws, and his deep ball seems off. He's injured. Is he injured, or is that a way of throwing it away to not get a penalty? To the guy who hates the sound bites from Gary, are you crazy? This show is about football, fan interaction, and fun. Gary makes this show more fun. And don't forget, he does this show live, and he's quick to the task on his sound bites. I give him credit. And think he's the best in the biz. So there you go.
Who's he going up against?
Well, I don't know. Other people on the biz?
I don't know what the biz is, but I agree that Gary's pretty good.
So, but as far as Brady, you know, we've talked about Brady all week. And I don't know. All I know is that, you know, you can say what you want about body language. It's not good right now. And I've seen more throws, over everybody in the sidelines than I have, you know, in the past. And usually that tells you that somebody didn't run around the right route or they're just not open.
Yeah, and I agree with what Andy has said. If Brady doesn't play well in this game and they get beat pretty bad, then the championship era is over because they didn't win last year, and then now they're getting beat by good teams like that again. They need to go out there, even if they lose, play well. I mean, you could play well against the Bengals and still lose. That I think's okay. It's in their, you know, it's on their turf. They're a very good team. But if they go out and get embarrassed, then I agree. I think we have to put the stop talking about what happened in 2001 and all that garbage because you know what? It's over. They need to go. They might still win the division and go to the playoffs, but I'm saying the championship
for this year.
Huh?
For this year.
Yeah, I'm just saying
the Patriots will win. Let me tell you something right now. The Patriots will win at least one more Super Bowl within the next 3 years.
That's fine. But I'm talking about the connection to the past championships.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Is now you can't put those in anymore if they go out and get blown out because now they've got young players, they've decided to turn the page.
Well, Belichick would tell you every year that connection
is broken.
No, I know.
But I'm saying to the fans. The fans kind of are still on the, well, we can win another Super Bowl and you know, if they don't get it done this week and play well and Brady looks bad again, it's just, you know, this is more of a team maybe for 2007 than 2006.
All right. Jason, let's take a break right now. We'll be right back.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. Relive these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
It's going to be shot, Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house. Even when I'm at the movies, it happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right, Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby.
This is PFW in progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Do you know who I am? I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books. And my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Cindy was the balls.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. If you ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
And some guy named Tom.
People seem to like me because I am polite, and I'm rarely late. I like to eat ice cream, and I really enjoy a nice pair of slacks. Years later, a doctor will tell me that I have an IQ of 48 and am what some people call mentally retarded.
PFW in progress.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Woo!
Afternoon delight.
Woo!
afternoon delight.
Okay, back here in PFW in Progress, Fred Kirsch, Tom Casale. Soon to be joined, I think, by Mike Felder.
Yeah, he's out there. He's busy right now. He's going to be joining us in a minute.
Oh, okay. Hey, webradio is at patriots.com. It's the email address, webradio@patriots.com. If you want to email us, we'll be here until 2 o'clock, and the phone number is 508-543-7482. Let's see. Josh in Arlington says, it's funny that you suggested that other fans hate the Patriots. I assume you mean because they've been so successful recently. Surprisingly enough, although people definitely would like to see them struggle at least once in a while, other fans I have called out for being Pats haters have consistently said the same thing. Quote, no one hates the Patriots. How could you hate them? They epitomize teamwork, end quote. I know a lot of Steelers fans hate the Patriots because of the AFC Championship losses, but it seems all the other fans I know like the Pats as long as they're not playing their team. Any of you guys hear that?
No, not at all.
You don't?
No, this is, to me, the Patriots are the San Francisco 49ers. When the 49ers were good for all those years, people don't really have feelings towards the 49ers one way or the other, but when you could sustain that kind of success, then you started rooting against them. People don't have...
You became a total fan.
Right. The Patriots don't have cowboy hate. I mean, there's websites dedicated to how much people hate the Dallas Cowboys. What's going on here is the Patriots keep winning, and people that are either just casual fans of another team or big fans, they're sick of seeing, they're getting sick of seeing Tom Brady with that clean-cut look on his face, holding that Super Bowl trophy. So that's what happens, is they don't really hate the Patriots. They hate that they're winning all the time.
And you know, I get the emails. There are fans out there that hate the Patriots.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, they accuse them of everything from paying off refs to, you know, overstating the obvious to being arrogant.
There's a lot of people who hate the Patriots.
Yeah. So, and that's the ones we hear from most. So, I know in Virginia seems to be like a place where there's a lot of Patriots.
Yeah, you
fans.
Always say that.
You know, there's a couple bars, Murphy's.
I know, I've heard of that one.
Yeah, that's a big Patriot hangout. A lot of Patriots fans in Virginia for some reason. I don't know why. So, let's see. Mike is from Port St. Lucie in Florida. I just want to key in quick on this week's game against the Bengals. The keys to winning this game are the running game, passing effectively, and the secondary. Well, I guess that's pretty much it. No. Dylan and Maroney will have good games against the D of the Bengals, so that's not a problem unless they stop it where 2-2. Now, if we can get Gabriel and Jackson in this game, this will give us more of a chance to convert and score. If not, Jackson, which I'm disappointed in, then Gabriel has to be something because Caldwell is not getting open. The secondary now is the most biggest concern with me. With Gay, Hobbs, and Wilson hurt, this might be a long passing night, which I think the Bengals' best chance of winning is passing. And if we don't step up, we're 2-2. We are in a scoring shootout, which is not the type of offense we have now. I think it will be Patriots 35, Bengals 28. Andy is the best.
Guy says they can't win a shootout.
Yeah, I'm not sure about
that.
Mike, you're all over there.
Yeah.
you're all over the place there. I'm not sure about, you know, your reasoning. Really, if I reason...
He said if they don't stop the Bengals, they're 2-2.
Yeah.
And then he said that they're going to win. They can't win a shootout. Then he said the final score is 35-28.
Yeah. So that's kind of a shootout.
Yeah. That's if you got the over in a 35-28 game, you're looking good.
Mike, you know, I don't know about Chad Johnson, but you might be a little bipolar there. at least schizophrenic. Yeah, you're kind of covering all bases there. And in so doing, reading your email, I think the Patriots are going to lose.
Right. Well, either way, he could write in next week and say he was right.
That's right. That's right. I said, you know, and yeah. This is what happened. But you also said, all right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. The locker rooms open up at 1:30 today. That's something different that they're doing this year. 1:30 on Fridays, for some reason, is when they open up
the locker
rooms.
The only interest I have there is if anyone sees Ellis Hobbs.
Right.
I mean, no one's really going to say anything. It's not like you're sitting on the edge of your seat, unless, of course, Dylan decides to talk, which is always good.
Okay.
John Tomasi had a good story on Dylan. Did you read that?
No, I didn't. What do you have
good
to say?
Story. Just talked to some of his former teammates because, you know, Dylan doesn't talk. And like Willie Anderson, the tackle, him and Dylan had some words when Dylan left, but now Anderson has kind of forgotten about it and talked about what a great back he was there. And he mentioned something that I had said for years, too. Corey Dillon, I thought, got a bad rap in Cincinnati because he called out management for not wanting to win.
And well, he should. Mike Brown's an
right.
idiot.
And I don't think any player, it's like a former Bengal said, you know, Corey was here for 7 years running his butt off, and he wanted to win badly. And when other people in the organization, he felt didn't want to win, he spoke out, and then he got a bad reputation. And I think that's true. You can talk about some other things about Dillon, but I don't think what he said in Cincinnati, he wanted to win, and they were letting Carl Pickens go, and all their good players were leaving, and he had a problem with it. See, and I think after a while, if it happens for a year or so, you shut up, but if it happens for 6 or 7 years, then as a leader of the team, you got to come out and say, this is garbage.
You know, he never got into the playoffs until he was with the Patriots.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, he had a pretty long career at Cincinnati. I can understand that. I agree with you. I think he got a pretty bad rap. Do I think he should have thrown his shoulder pads into the crowd in his last game in Cincinnati? Probably not.
Right.
He
does some questionable things,
yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of like the T.O. thing or whatever he does is magnified.
Did the article at all talk to Jim Anderson, his former running backs coach?
No, it talked to a couple of different linemen, and it's like I know him and Anderson had a big, like Anderson said when he left, good riddance.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I know him and Rudy Johnson didn't get along because Johnson said he's no Corey Dillon. But it was kind of like Anderson just said, you know, the past is the past. He's looked back on it now and realized, you know, what a good player he was and blah, blah, blah. It was a pretty good article.
Okay. Well, it's web radio at Patriots.com, and the news, the good news for Dillon is even though he left the game last week with an apparent arm injury, didn't return, he hasn't been on the injury report all week.
I should say maybe the reason Anderson is saying this is because he said in the article, whenever you challenge Corey Dillon, he steps up, and he said that's probably why Belichick brought in Maroney, not only to give him rest, but to give him that extra challenge.
I think they brought in Maroney because Maroney's pretty good.
I think a
byproduct of that is that he's pushed
right,
Dillon.
He said he probably knew that if he brought in a young running back that it would push Dillon even further. So maybe he doesn't want any bulletin board material because he knows that when a pissed off Dillon is a much harder Dillon to stop.
And like I said, he is going to play, apparently.
Yeah, he hasn't been on the report.
But
he was out of practice.
He was out of practice, according to Jason.
He was out at practice.
Yeah.
He was running.
Okay. Well, you said he was out of... I didn't know if you said he was out of practice or he was out
at
practice.
No, he means practicing. He was practicing.
Okay. Just clearing it up.
Yeah. Jason, make sure you don't give away anything that you're not supposed to there.
I know. He's over there talking about flea flickers and...
Right. webradio@patriots.com is email address, webradio@patriots.com. A lot of interesting matchups this week in the NFL. A lot of games that, you know, because we don't know who the teams are really yet. A lot of games that are tough to pick.
Yeah.
You know, so I was thinking next week, Tom, just to kind of mix things up a little bit in our picking, maybe we should, you know, make it a little interesting with some, I don't know, what are they called?
Spreads?
Something like that. Creating some odds, you know?
Yeah.
Handicapping.
Okay.
Is that what they call it?
They call it handicapping.
Handicapping. Maybe we should do that. What do you think?
I think it's a good idea.
I'd like to know what our listeners think. Should we do that?
I mean, just picking the games, I don't think anyone's really interested in, but if we throw the spreads in there, you know, you get the opinion of a former gambler like myself. You know, maybe you can go out and...
Well, we would not be doing it for any gambling
purposes. For amusement. It's for amusement purposes.
Just entertainment, just to make it a little interesting.
Right.
Because, you know, if I can go 15-1 just picking games outright, then we got to mix it up a little bit, right?
This is getting too easy for you.
Right. So, yeah, maybe we'll do that.
Right.
But I'd like to know what our listeners feel about that. You know, if that would
or
be
even if you even listen to that segment.
Yeah, well, maybe if you don't, maybe would you if we did that? So I'd be, you know, if you have an opinion on that,
See, because this week I would have taken Tennessee getting 11 points.
See, I'm not even paying attention to handicapping right now because I don't need to, but I would.
Right, but I'm saying I know Tennessee's getting 11 against Dallas, and I think that game's going to be closer than 11. But
Tennessee's getting 11 against Dallas.
At home. But you know the way Dallas plays. Parcells is going to work on the running game this week, you know, getting ready for the Eagles, play it close to the vest, not show anything. So I would actually take Tennessee getting the 11, but if you're picking them outright, I'm going to go Dallas.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe we'll do that. I'll have to think about it. I'll have to think about it. And I'd like to get the input from our listeners as well, see what they think.
All right.
Webradio at Patriots.com's email address, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And Patriots practicing indoors today.
Yep.
Apparently, well, it is raining.
It's raining, yep.
And it's not going to rain in Cincinnati, according to the weather report. Last time I checked, it's going to be mid-60s and partly sunny. So it's going to be a nice day for football. So, you know, if that's the case, then why have them practice in the rain today?
Yeah.
Have them practice. And I think they have the field turf at Paul Brown Stadium.
Yeah, I know they used to have the grass, but apparently they've got, yeah, I remember them playing on grass at one point, but they have switched to the field.
Yeah, so again, the Patriots indoor facility, the Dana-Farber Fieldhouse, is field turf, so makes sense to have them running on the same type of field.
Yeah.
In a dry condition. Try to emulate or imitate what the game conditions will be. And I imagine they're also pumping in sound to, mm-hmm. you know, recreate the crowd noise, get them going in those conditions. So that's what they're doing today, and they're doing it as we speak here at in Foxborough, in rainy, cloudy Foxborough, Massachusetts.
And we'll be heading out tomorrow.
We're heading out tomorrow to Cincinnati on the charter flight with the Patriots.
Yep.
We always look forward to that, especially the bus.
Yeah. Nothing like sitting on that bus for an hour and a half.
That's us going over in our prop plane, little propeller plane. So, what are you going to be doing on the bus? You have what's on your? Oh, you don't have an iPod.
No, I don't do anything on the bus. I usually watch the movie.
Yeah, which is you know, usually gangs beating each other up or people shooting people. Mark Capella from BCN picks the movie. And it's always some type of guy movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's always a guy movie.
Yeah, you're not going to see Steel Magnolias on that bus.
No, we're not. They don't play that type of movie. I think one of the best lines ever on the bus was last holiday season. We get on the bus and, what was it? Somebody said, The Godfather. And Mark yells out, it's Christmas.
Yeah. Like it's a Christmas, like it's a Wonderful Life or something.
Right. It's the, you know, the quintessential Christmas movie, The Godfather. All right. Let's see. Where is everybody?
No emails?
No emails.
Jeez. People must be tuning us out because they know Felger's coming.
What, are you guys asleep up there?
No, we do have an email, and I'll get to it right now. It's from Gary from Syracuse, and he has an issue, or I don't know if he has an issue. He says, these are Dr. Z's rankings. Do you agree with these rankings? I think the Vikings, Ravens, and Saints, not tested yet, are too high. Carolina, the Steelers, and the Eagles, Cowboys, and Giants are too low. So have you seen Dr. Z's power rankings?
No, because I really don't care what Dr. Z has to say.
I think it's too early in the season for power rankings, yeah. First of all. But he does have the Bengals ranked number one. And they went up from 5 last week to number one now.
They beat the Steelers in
right.
Pittsburgh.
He's got the Seahawks as number 2, and they went from 8 last week to number 2.
So apparently you can make big jumps in this.
Yeah.
In this
the Colts held ground at number 3. So they're number 3, and the Ravens are number 4, but they dropped from number 2 last week. My question is, how did they get to number 2 last week?
I don't know. And then you win a game on the road and you drop?
Yeah. The Bears are 5. They went up from 6. The Jaguars are 6. They went down from number 1. So apparently last week, Dr. Z had the Jaguars as the number 1 team in the NFL.
It seems like he switches those rankings pretty quickly.
The Chargers held ground at 7, and the Broncos went from 15 to 8 with their win over the Patriots. Just moving down to where the Patriots are, let's see.
My guess is 14th.
You are exactly right, down from 12.
I do not care about the numbers.
So, you know, power rankings. But we had an interesting debate about what power rankings should be. Should they be the best team that you think as they're going to finish, or just the best team as they're playing at this moment in time?
As they're playing right now.
That's what I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how do you know who's going to finish what?
Projection. I mean, do you put in strength of schedule going in?
You do it with your eyes. Who's the best team
who's
right now?
Who's playing best right now? But do you take into consideration who they played against?
You have to beat who's on your schedule. If we were gonna do that, then how come people weren't crying last year when the Patriots were beating all those bums?
My point is, does it help you to have 1-point victories against good teams or 10-point victories
if you have two teams that are 3-0 and one team's played two good teams and the other team's beaten the Titans and Houston, then I would say, yeah, then I would factor that in. I would take the team that's played the tougher schedule. But I'm not going to take a team like Carolina, who might have played a tough schedule and is 1-2, and put them ahead of the Saints, because you don't think the Saints have played anybody. Well, the Saints have won all three of their games.
Dan at Fairfax, Virginia, says, since I don't gamble on football, I really don't care about other people picking games against the spread. I would rather just hear who you think will win the game, and if you think there will be an upset. And anybody who wants to get rid of Gary isn't worthy of being a listener. Gary is great. So, that's interesting, though.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it isn't more important. Who do you think is going to win? And
no offense to Dan, but there are a lot, and I mean a lot of other people who do gamble on football. So,
no, I know.
Maybe they'd like to know what we think, if the number's too high.
I think maybe we mix it in if we do it, that, you know, I think they're going to beat the spread, but I think they'll still lose.
Right.
You know, so let people know really who we think's going to win.
Right. Like I said with Tennessee, I said this week, a little closer than the experts think. Everybody, listen, they do it on ESPN, Corso. That's Corso's line, closer than the experts think. Who do you think he means when he says experts?
Right.
He means the guys in Vegas setting the line.
Absolutely. Webradio at Patriots.com. Jason, you ready for a break? We'll take one. We'll be right back.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. Relive these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good,
it is good.
How about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
Gonna be shot, Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much?
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved
$2.25. Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5%. Up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
Hmm. What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
Is that the death toll? Is that it? Show's over, Jason? Hell's bells. Oh, hell's bells. It's pretty ominous. I don't know. Maybe, I thought it was a statement on the show today. Anyway, we're back here in PFW in Progress, Fred and Tom, and joining us now is Mike Felger from 890 ESPN Radio Boston, and also the Boston Herald, and Four Downs with Felger on Fox, and whatever else.
You think with all that stuff, you would know that Chris Perry was injured.
Do you have that sound?
I don't know if we have. I don't think we have it.
We do. You'll be hearing it on my show. If you want to hear Felger sound like a jackass, not that hard.
Is it possible to have a collapsed lung for a short period of time and then have it collapse?
Compared to what happened today, that was a proud moment. The collapsed lung question was better.
But the funny thing about it was you were reading PFW while you asked the question.
No. Because here's what happened.
You looked at the depth chart.
Because you know what? As it was leaving my mouth, it was, this doesn't sound right, does it? So I was scrambling to see, just to make sure that he wasn't on IR, which he's not. This is what happened. I asked Bill Belichick how the Bengals have been using Chris Perry, who's on PUP and hasn't played in 6 weeks.
Much.
So, not so much. And he really bailed me out, didn't he? Or did he just...
I got to be honest.
I think you stumped him for a second when he was thinking to himself, wait a minute, is Chris Perry playing?
It was like... Thank you, Felger. I get to now make you look like a jackass for the next 30 seconds.
You mean Tab Perry?
Beautiful. Yeah, that's me, Fred. That's me.
That's all right. You know, with all the stuff you have going on, I can understand where, you know, you wouldn't keep up with the injuries.
Yeah. And this is a little insane.
Or the team they're playing on Sunday.
Who is that again? This is a little inside, but it was really just to get Bert Breer to stop asking questions. I just wanted to throw something, because there's this one guy in our press conferences, for the people out there who don't know, who just asks annoying a question after annoying question, and if you don't stop him, it'll go on forever.
Yeah, there's
well,
no stopping him.
I finally, the case was finally definitively made against him when, during the Chinese press conference, he asked three questions. Yeah. So that was, you know, if you need any more evidence... that this guy just likes to ask questions, no matter what the topic. That was it.
So anyway, we got it on tape, and you'll hear it during the Mike Felger Show, 4 o'clock. Freddie, are you doing okay? I'm concerned about you.
Why
is that? He picked the Bengals.
Well, he can't respond well to losses, Tom.
No. And he picked the Bengals. I mean, now you know.
You picked the Bengals?
Yeah, he picked the Bengals.
You know, Fred, I respect only one thing above everything else, and that's objectivity, and at least you're showing some.
Skippy.
At least you're showing some.
You know, as I explained and my listeners know, if I think that the Patriots have a chance, I will pick the Patriots if it's close. I just, you know, obviously there's a way that the Patriots can win this game. Maybe they run the ball, they pressure Palmer, who knows? I just don't think there's enough evidence right now that the Patriots will be able to execute those little things that they could do, or those few, I should say not little, those few things that they could do right now to win this game.
I think
it's just a bad matchup right now for them.
I think they're going to get drilled.
I do too.
I mean, drilled.
I do too.
Paul thinks that the Bengals are going to, you know, rack up 41 points.
I think it's going to be 41 easy.
I mean, to me, healthy, Fred, if everyone in the secondary is healthy,
right,
they have a chance to keep it close and maybe do some of the things that, you know, in my mind, one of the best victories they've had here was at St. Louis in 04 when they're starting Randall Gay and Asante Samuel, who had yet to really become a player, started, and Troy Brown was the first nickelback off the bench, and it was Earthwind Moreland. It was that era. And you go into St. Louis when they could still really throw the ball all over the place, and the Pats went in there and waxed the floor with the Rams, and I thought that was one of the greatest wins I've seen from this outfit since Belichick got here. I think this would equal it, if not surpass it, if only because, Fred, if you don't have Ellis Hobbs, and I think he's a questionable,
yeah,
because we haven't seen the guy all week. I don't even know if he's used his locker all week. That's your best cover corner. And if Asante Samuel's okay, but if Eugene Wilson can't play, if he's got a bad hammy and he can't fit, I mean, it's a disaster.
What do you do? Do you just throw the dogs at him and just hope that you can get to Palmer before these guys get downfield?
Yeah.
Because once they get downfield, I don't know if I don't see it's a bad matchup.
It's a bad matchup.
If you can't give Palmer time.
If you got Hank Poteet on TJ Houshmandzadeh and you blitz, you might as well not get off the bus.
I mean, yeah, and see, that's the scary part. You can get to Palmer, you can get in there in 2 point whatever seconds, and he's just going to throw it up there and
right.
let Houshmandzadeh go jump over little Hank Poteet. No disrespect meant to Hank Poteet, but Houshmandzadeh is an elite world-class receiver, and Poteet's a fringe roster player. It's just you can get to Palmer, and if he's smart, he just throws it up there and lets his guys make the plays on the outside.
But
it's scary.
To answer your question, no, Fred was not doing well last
Sunday
night.
I can imagine.
He was not doing well.
Well, but you know what? It's encouraging for me to hear you speak. At least there's some reality in this room, and that's what concerns me, that there's not – just so you keep it real,
no,
Fred.
There is some reality, and it resides with me. Not with you.
Well, do you consider this an elite team still?
The Patriots?
Yes.
Bingo. At this point in time, no. But there are no elite teams in Week 3.
They're not?
No.
Oh. Okay.
I don't think so.
All right.
Well, who's an elite team?
I think you're about to see one. I think you're about to see
one on
Sunday.
I think by the end of the season, we could be saying that the Bengals are an elite team. But in Week 3, there's enough evidence about any team to say that they're elite?
Oh, look at their roster, Fred. You've been covering football for a long time. You know what's a good player and who's not. What teams have
good collection of... Well, the Washington Redskins have a great roster, too. But are they elite?
I disagree.
You don't go by that.
I didn't say they had a great roster.
Except for the quarterback.
The moves they made this year stunk. I didn't like any of them.
Yeah, I don't think they have a great roster.
But a bunch of
roster doesn't tell the whole story, Mike. It's how they play as a team. It's a team sport.
I don't know. If you look at the Chicago Bears, they have some pretty good defensive personnel there.
Absolutely, and I think they're a good team, and I think in 3 or 4 weeks, they might emerge as one of the elite teams.
But other than Jacksonville and Tampa Bay, in the last calendar year, the Patriots haven't beaten any good teams.
Yeah, we went through this yesterday.
That's true. We talked about that before you came on, Mike.
To me, Tampa doesn't even count. I mean,
Right, but they were, if you want to make the argument, you can throw them in, because they were at the top of their division. So we'll throw both those.
Yeah, but they were on the slide then that has continued now.
If you want to argue those two teams, you can throw them both in.
But they're not a categorical consensus great win.
Both those teams are tailor-made for the Patriots.
Tom, they're Florida teams at Foxborough in December and January.
No, I
rest my case
there.
The
football.
Absolutely.
Okay. The last great win this team has had?
Pittsburgh.
At Pittsburgh?
Yep. Yes.
September 25th, over a year ago.
That's right.
My first week. My first game.
Ever since then,
it's gone downhill.
You're absolutely right. I can't deny that. You know, they were playing better once the playoffs came. You can make an argument that they just fell apart against Denver and could have won that game. And had they won, they would have had a home game against Pittsburgh for the AFC Championship. And then who knows? But they never got a chance to prove that. So we can't say that they were ready to start beating good teams.
So the ebb and flows of NFL teams is natural and normal.
Yes, it is. It's built that way.
But unfortunately, my only true problem, Fred, is that I think this one with the Patriots was preventable. It's just preventable. If they had gone and targeted the players that they should have kept a little earlier and not been such hard asses about the rookie contracts, you have one of your two receivers here. And it doesn't look like such a disaster on the outside.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Or, Fred, you make the acknowledgement that last year we all knew Monty Beisel couldn't play. Why don't you go and spend a little bit of money on another linebacker and shore that up as opposed to bringing Monty back? And then when you finally
come to grips... Usually linebackers aren't, you know, in free agency available like that. You know, so I don't know who would they have brought in.
Well, that's not really my department, is it?
No, I know, but I haven't heard anyone last year say, "Oh, they should have gotten this guy." I mean, this year you can look at guys like Stallworth, who happens to be hurt.
I mean, the receiver
Walker.
Thing we all can.
Yeah,
see,
but last year I don't.
Ed Hartwell was out there.
Well, I mean, yeah,
Kendrell Bell was
Ed Hartwell
out there.
Was coming off an injury, wasn't he?
I mean, Julian Peterson, Will
You're
Witherspoon.
Talking about for this year?
No, I'm talking about last year. Well, last year when they got Chad Brown and Monty Beisel.
He's right with Witherspoon. Look what he's doing in St. Louis now, helping that defense.
Well, Witherspoon's a tremendous player. And Julian Peterson, I understand, is an outside guy. So then you make Vrabel full-time, whatever.
Yeah.
There were linebackers out there now.
They got caught, you know, last year. Ted Johnson quits just before training camp. I don't think they, you know, counted on that.
Let me ask you,
why did they bring in guys like Bison
and
Brown?
About this summer, listen.
No, this summer is different, right?
I mean, last year, Fred, they thought Beisel could develop into this system, and they thought Brown still had something left. They were wrong, but I don't think you can really hammer them because they thought those guys would work. They spent a little bit of money on them.
That's right.
They realized a need. They went out and tried to fill it. They just picked the wrong guy. That happens. I can excuse that. But to sit idly and just not spend any money, period, when you know you have holes, to me, that's a hard one to get past for me.
Well, let me ask you, someone emailed in earlier, and I want to get your opinion on it. They wanted to know why Copen and or Samuel haven't been re-signed when they have cap money. Now, if they let those two hit the open market, especially Samuel, is going to get huge offers.
You really think so? I think
a
Copen
corner?
I think Copen gets more
have
money
than Samuel.
Have you
seen the money corners have been getting in the open market?
Yeah,
Henry
good.
For the Cowboys got a $12 million signing bonus.
Yeah, good one.
And he's average.
Well, Henry? No, I don't know.
He's average at best, trust me. I'm just saying, when you've played corner for Super Bowl teams, he's going to get money on the open market.
Well, you know what? Centers get money, too.
Yeah, but he will. But my point is, then you're going to hear the, well, teams overpaid, you know, we have a value system. So, I mean, when does that end? Are they the Pittsburgh Pirates now? They're just going to develop talent so other teams can come in and take it?
Right. And listen, I'm with you. And when it gets to that point, and they are free agents, and they get the money. That, let's face it, probably Branch got more than he's worth, and Vinatieri got more than he's worth, and Givens got more than he's worth. I agree with all that, except if you get to him a year early, you get him for less than the Titans got Givens and the Seahawks got Branch. What I hear is that the money the Pats offered David Givens at the end of it is what Givens asked for a year before, and if the Pats had just signed the check the year before, they would have had Givens for about 60% of what Tennessee ended up paying them.
Well, if that's the case, then that's a severe miscalculation on their part. I don't know. I don't know who you heard it from, but if that's the case, then they miscalculated.
And I wonder about the mentality. I just think they've had so much success, and they've done so well with so many of these rookie deals. They're such good draft. I mean, look at their first-round picks. So they draft well, then they win at the negotiating table. Good for them. That's what you're supposed to do. But I think then they take it that one extra step where it's, you know what, we did our job, we drafted well, we signed him well, we're gonna hold him to that deal to the bitter end, and contractually they're right, but the reality, how business is done in the NFL, if you hammer a rookie and make him pay for those minimum salaries for too long and he vastly outperforms him, he's gonna wanna get paid.
Well, I think that, you know, the new rule now that you can't sign the top 10 guys for more than 4 years.
No, it goes, it's like 6 years and then it's,
oh, okay.
There's no
rookie. The other way.
Yeah, it's the bottom half of the first round. The max is 5. I don't think you can sign a second round for more than 3 or 4. I forget exactly,
yeah.
But it's.
Well, those kind of rule changes are, if you're a front office like the Patriots, you have to look at that and say, okay, maybe now I got to start paying some free agents a little bit more money because we're just not going to have these guys as long as we want them to. You know,
My question is this.
I don't know what to say.
My question is this, Fred, and you're a front office insider, so I
no,
want to
I'm
ask
not.
You this.
I'm not.
He's management, isn't he?
I am not a
He's
front
management.
Office.
Isn't he?
I have no access to football.
There's some special blue book that's out that has executives in it and everything. And Fred's
the media guy. What's your exact title, Freddie?
He's like,
I'm the publisher of PFW.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
I'm just a cog in the gear, Mike. Just a pawn on the chess table of football.
How are we in the bowels of Gillette Stadium? We don't have a media guy.
I have no access to football.
There is one here. I don't know.
Oh, hold on.
Let me get that perfectly straight. This team hates Fred Kirsch.
Fred,
let me get
Fred
this perfectly
is
straight.
Embarrassed to
that I'll
his
agree
title.
With.
This team hates Fred Kirsch. All right.
In this company, Fred
right.
is ashamed of
okay.
his title. What does that tell you?
My title is publisher and
no,
editor.
No, it's not.
PFWN friends.
For crying out loud. While Mike is looking
I don't know where
up.
He thinks he's going to find it. He's like in where Belichick is listed.
Yeah, you ain't going to find
because,
it there.
Because you're front office. So anyway, here's my concern while I look for your title. is this Belichick and Pioli saying, okay, we have a value system and we're not, you know, it's bad business against a cap to pay a player more than he's worth, and this is our decision not to go to this length to sign Deion Branch? Or has it come down from the money people, ownership, saying, from a cash-out standpoint, fellas, we're not going above X? And if you look at the money being paid out to Richard Seymour and Tom Brady these last 2 to 3 years, that's a huge chunk of change. And from a pure cash-out standpoint, has ownership said, we're not going over this? And if that's the case, that would be really frustrating as a fan.
Well, going over what? I mean, it's still within the constraints of the salary cap, so...
Not
you know,
really. I mean, they're in the bottom third, from what I understand.
No, right now they are, but last year, at the beginning of the season, they weren't. I mean, that fluctuates just like everything else.
Right.
What I have heard management say in the few times I've been able to talk to management is that we're in this to make sure that we're competitive for the long term, year after year after year. And I think, you know, there, you can see how they will be that way. But with the increase in the salary cap and the extra room, as a fan, you do have to look at it and say, well, why not? Why didn't they get certain people? You know, so then you got to look back at Pioli and Belichick and look at the people that have been available and, you know, just maybe, the guys, they didn't fit into the system. I don't know. But
all right,
I think next year you're going to have to see some money
so
be spent.
So you said that they're setting up for the long term, right?
So that has been a flaw. Okay. Make sure that they're competitive, but not just one
don't
year,
but
every year.
You
kind of
got to be a businessman in that sense. Like, I mean, Belichick. I mean, Paul tells a story that in 2004, Vinatieri wanted out way back in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
So he's running for the door. Branch didn't want to play here anymore. I mean, at some point, don't you got to make it where people want to come here and play for you if you're going to do this year to year? Because if you keep frustrating the players that are here, it's going to keep getting around the league.
Yeah, I know, but we're under a microscope here in New England because we cover this team, but that kind of stuff goes on in every team. There's disgruntled guys in every locker room.
Listen,
guys who think
Tom
they should
Brady
be making
and
more money.
Seymour?
They're
and
not.
And the thing about Adam Vinatieri.
Their money.
The thing about Adam Vinatieri.
Seymour is like the highest paid defensive lineman in the league.
I know they got their money, but that doesn't mean that they're totally happy with the situation.
Well, you have to sit down. You have to negotiate, which is something that Branch's people apparently didn't want to do. But they got their money.
Fred Kirsch is the publisher, editor-in-chief, and director of interactive media.
So what does that mean? It means nothing.
That's disappointing. I thought you were going to have a more management kind of title.
I told you,
like
Mike.
A VP title.
I told you. I'm nothing. I'm just a little hog.
Adam Vinatieri, if they had paid him what the Colts had paid him, he'd be here. Yeah, he was all sore and
shit. They paid him 2 years ago what the Colts
paid. No.
If the Colts offered him a dollar more this year, he'd have gone.
Not a dollar.
Yeah, he wanted out.
Fred, he was frustrated and pissed off, no question.
And he wanted out.
If they had shown him the money, if they had showed him a top-of-the-market offer, he would be here.
Yeah,
trust
but
me
it
on
was
that.
Too late for that.
No,
if they had shown him last year or something, yes,
no.
He would be here.
At the last moment, the last week, if no, they had shown him.
I don't
him.
Think so, Mike.
Absolutely.
I think he wanted out.
Well, I know he was disappointed and upset, but the reason he was disappointed and upset is because the Pats didn't want him at the level that Indianapolis did.
Yeah. Well, I'm not
saying that. You know, listen.
You know, there's a lot of guys out there on every team and every sport who don't think they're being paid what they're worth. I mean, so that's just not a Patriots problem. We like to say it is because, you know, we're so focused.
Aren't they handled differently sometimes with other teams than, Willie McGinnis not even getting a phone call saying we're going to move on?
You know what? I don't care about that.
Oh, yeah, don't get me started
with
Willie McGinnis. He still thinks that 55 should be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, then you know what happens with things like that? Then Deion Branch calls Javon Walker and says, you know what? Don't go to New England.
You know what? Overrated. If the money's there, players will
the
come.
The other problem with the Patriots is that the
not if they're not going to get the money.
The
Raiders talk.
But
Keyshawn Johnson
so that's
have
what
a
I'm
problem.
Saying, Tom.
Keyshawn Johnson has friends in this organization, laughed when someone mentioned the Patriots and said, why would I go there to play for $5 a day?
Well, that's
you're
the point.
Me that's not getting around
okay,
the
so then separate that from, they're mean, they didn't call Willie to say goodbye, or they're giving 55 to Junior Sale. It's a different issue. If the word's out that the Pats don't pay, well, that's legit. Yes, I think that works against them, but not because they're meanies. Players don't care. Players want to play, they want to be starters, and they want to get paid. And that's
they
the
also want to be respected.
Well, the other thing
they
about...
They want to be respected. Vinatieri wasn't
not really.
Respected.
The other thing about this team is that they're so closed-mouthed about everything they do that, you know, when any nugget like that gets out, like a Willie McGinnis in a paper talking
about... not a problem.
About, it,
why
it
is that
becomes,
a problem?
It becomes blown out of perspective.
I disagree. You know what the problem is?
What's
that,
the problem, Mike?
Is that this was once an elite team 2 years ago, and largely because of money, I don't think it is any longer an elite team. And that sucks. That's the problem. Because they're not as good as they used to be, and the reason is money. I don't care that Belichick is rough on his players or is a tough negotiator or isn't all touchy-feely. That means nothing. Neither was Vince Lombardi.
So,
I don't want him
so
to
if,
be.
If
that
you,
was
if,
in 1960.
If one of the two receivers were here, Givens or Branch, you don't think the Patriots would be... Well, they're 2-1, so I'm not going to say they're in trouble, but you think everything would be rosy right now?
I think it'd be better. I think they'd be one step closer to being that elite team. I don't know if they would be. I don't know if Branch is the difference. All I know is
maybe not on the field, but when he left, something happened. You can't deny that. The players in that locker room. This isn't the lawyer Malloy
situation. Let's just talk about right now the passing game, okay?
You know what else I think?
Yeah, it would be better if Branch was here.
You know what else I think creeped in and affected them last week was this whole China BS. This whole China crap.
You think that affected them?
Well, I think players were unhappy about it.
It affected me.
Oh,
I know
come
that.
On.
Fred, do you understand?
First of all, that got announced. That was in the paper like a month, 2 months ago.
Yeah. And what did Vrabel say?
Yeah, he said it's stupid.
It's terrible.
That was 2 months ago.
Fred.
So they're still dwelling on it? You know, it was Brady drained because of China? Is that what he was talking about?
No, but think about it. Think about it. Do players get paid in the preseason?
No.
Well, they get a check.
What, a couple $100? They don't get paid in the preseason, Fred.
They have an option to have
okay.
their check spread
so
out over
the 12-month
period.
So here you go, fellas. Here you go, fellas. We've left the team with $10 million in cap space. We've let a lot of the core guys go. And we're not paying you in the preseason. But, oh, by the way, get on a plane, go halfway around the world, spend an extra week in training camp, right? They get a fifth preseason game, which means at least 7 more days of training camp.
You know what? He might be in on it. He might be onto something because, you know what? The Colts went to Japan. That's why they haven't won the Super Bowl.
No disrespect.
Because they went
to
Japan.
The
I agree with Felger. We shouldn't be going to China.
I'm not saying that that's
just
a reason.
Just afraid of flying.
I'm not saying it's the reason they lost. I'm saying that it's sort of, if there's a little bit of a malaise that you're sensing with the team right now, I just put it all in one big pie.
Oh, for crying out loud. It has nothing to do with what they're going to do next preseason. Come on, Mike.
You think the players are happy about going to China?
I don't think they could
for
give
free?
Two you-know-whats right now.
Really? Really? You think they want to be in camp for an extra week?
Absolutely. Right now.
And be on an airplane for 20 hours.
Right now.
You really think so?
Right now, half of them don't even know they're going to be on the team next year.
You really so they're happy. Hey, it's the Patriot way. Let's get on it. Let's spend 20 more days in training camp. This is, you know, this is camp happy. Are you crazy?
There's no way that affected them and had anything to do with the loss of Denver. There's no way, Mike.
One player said to me last week.
That's the case.
One player said to me last week, that was bad timing, wasn't it? So you take for that what?
Because
what
of what? Bad timing because of what? Because they lost?
I don't know. I mean, the whole thing, Fred,
had nothing to do with them losing that game.
I didn't
and
say
if it did.
Did,
then this isn't the team that we've been brought up to think that they are.
I think the talent they had on the field had something to do with them losing that game.
Obviously, number one. Obviously, number one. And that's my main beef.
No, I know, and I know this is a topic that you can bring into 4 o'clock and, you know, help your ratings and keep listeners, you know, listening. But, you know, for our listeners, they know better.
At the same time, there's been a talent drain because of money.
Well, I want to talk about, before we get on this China rant, I wanted to talk about the
past. It's absurd.
What? Why?
China. It's absurd.
I agree.
10 years from now, when players are getting more in the salary cap because of the extra revenues, they won't be saying it's absurd.
And that affects Richard Seymour how?
Every generation of player has to do a little something for the next generation.
You know how those, that's how those guys think for sure. Absolutely.
They don't now, but the next generation.
Categorically.
But the next generation thanks them for it,
you know,
don't they?
When I talk to Ellis Hobbs, he says, you know what? I just want to make the world a better place for for the guy that's following me 10 years from now.
But the league has to think that way, Mike.
I don't care about, I'm telling you how the players feel, Fred.
I know, but the players don't mind getting 65-67% of all revenues, do they? Well, they want those revenues to increase, don't they?
Not 10 years from now. They don't care.
But the league needs to do that, or else the players are going to be stagnant in the increased revenues.
You're talking about the league. I agree. The league wants to go to China.
So they have no choice but to look for new sources of revenue.
Okay. I came in here, and I was very optimistic that you were being objective, and you had some realism pumped into you. The China thing may be irrelevant. We don't have to talk about it. But don't delude yourself into thinking that the players are happy about going to freaking Beijing.
I didn't say that they're happy. I'm saying it's a necessary thing for the league to expand its lines of revenue.
The players
where else
feel
to
the
look
way you feel.
But 1.4, 1.6 billion, whatever the number is, in China. They're looking for American things right now. They love it.
Do the players feel the way you feel?
I don't know.
Oh, Fred.
No disrespect
to the
Oriental.
Brady said he was looking forward to it.
Oh, good. Okay, so that's all right.
Wait a minute. We should listen to Ellis Hobbs, but Tom Brady, we should discount.
I was joking about Ellis Hobbs.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not joking about Brady. He said he was looking forward to it.
Come on down to Tom Brady's Falafel City.
And Fred, let me tell you let me give you a little hint.
Oh, he was set up to say that.
He was lying.
Okay. He's so disgruntled. Wait a minute. At the same time, Tom is so disgruntled at the team because they've, you know, gotten rid of all his weapons, but yet he's ready to step forward for the team about China?
Yeah.
Everyone
oh, come
sucks on.
With me.
Absolutely.
That's what a puppet does.
Well, not a puppet, but that's what a good company guy does, of course.
A puppet.
Absolutely.
If he was a good company guy, he wouldn't have come out after they got rid of Deion Branson. I'm so drained after everything that happened. What's he drained about?
He could have said more than that.
What is he drained about? Well, was he the player who called Deion Branch late in the week and told him that the Pats would give him his money if he fired his agent?
I don't know. Is he?
I've heard different things.
Is he? I don't know.
Let's say he is. Would you consider that maybe a slightly draining experience for a guy?
Moderately draining? Oprah? These guys are supposed to be football players. What's his draining?
Dr.
Phil, if he's such a good friend, he should say, hey, congratulations, Dion, you just got $39 million.
You don't think it would have been tough? It'd be tough, right, if your employer, where you get your paycheck from and your life depends on these people.
My life depends?
Well, no, but your livelihood depends on you appeasing your bosses.
Right.
And these bosses come to you and tell you,
yes,
we want you to talk to your friend, a good friend of yours, Fred.
Okay, now you're making insinuations here that may or may not be true.
All I'm saying is there were reports out there,
yes,
that there was a high-profile Pats player who called Branch late in the week and said they'll meet your demands, you have to fire your agent.
Is that really? I didn't know that. I heard that there was a high-profile player that said you need to fire your agent.
Yes.
I don't know if it said they'll meet your demands if you fire your agent.
The conversation from what we hear is that it was things will get worked out, report. They'll, you know, it will be worked out for you. The numbers, you'll be happy with the numbers, but it can't be with your current
agent. Well, Dion Branch himself on TV said things are going to work out. I have a good feeling about that. So, you know, I don't know.
Well, I mean, to expect Tom Brady not to be drained, I mean, he's not a robot, Fred. He is actually a person.
Okay.
So people have emotions.
Okay,
about things that happen.
But the thing about China, we discount, but the whole thing about being drained, we should really take that at face value.
Fred, I'll allow you to discount whatever you like. I mean, people.
Oh, and he will.
I mean, these guys are human beings.
Okay.
I mean, you're telling me you want to go to China?
I actually,
Fred,
yes.
Does. Yes, he does.
You
know what? He's not lying.
I'm asking the wrong guy.
Yeah, ask me.
I've never been
there
before.
No, I don't.
I've never been there before.
Neither have I.
We go there a week early, you know, and I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, producing content for the fans.
Yeah, no ESPN, no cell phone. Sounds great.
What it's like out there, there's ESPN China. You just have to learn Mandarin.
Yeah.
No, is it going to be a pain in the ass? Yes. Is going to the Super Bowl a pain in the ass? Absolutely. We work our asses off.
Well, that's a good comparison. Yeah, China Bowl and the Super Bowl. Well done, Fred.
When's the last time you were on a plane 26 hours to go to the Super Bowl?
It's a logistics nightmare. It's going to be a lot of work, but I'm looking forward to the opportunity.
Okay. So anyway, where were we?
I want to talk about the passing. In your opinion, is the whole body language thing with Tom Brady overblown, or is there some validity to it?
No, I mean, this is what I'll say. What do you think? When you were sitting there watching the game, what did you think?
I thought that this guy is not carrying himself the way – let's just say that he does have receivers that are learning the system and they need some time.
I mean,
I thought that his display was kind of undermining them a little bit.
Okay, this is what I wrote
the
next day. What do you think? I mean, we weren't there. We're in the press box, Fred, so we don't even hear Al Michaels.
Yeah,
and
we didn't hear all that stuff.
Okay, so what you saw was
– what I wrote in PFW, I wrote Sunday night before having heard – what Madden or anyone else said.
What did you write, Freddie?
I wrote that there's something going on, that we don't know what it is.
We're not in the know.
We don't know what it is, but just by the looks of it.
He looked like Peyton Manning a couple years ago here in the playoffs, walking on the field.
Okay, now we're back to being real, Tom.
That's what I wrote.
So why do you think? Because his cat died? Because his puppy peed on his carpet at home? I mean, why do you think then? What do you think's going
on? I don't want your damn bear. I want my own bear.
What do you think's going on?
I don't know exactly what it is, but whatever it is, that's not what Tom Brady should be doing on the field. I don't care if he goes yells at Belichick or Pioli behind closed doors, but that's not the way you need to be acting when you know the situation is what it is.
Well, you know, and again, I would say to you that if you expect him to be that same guy who went out there in Super Bowl 36 against St. Louis, you're being
Felger,
it's just unrealistic. He's a human being.
Felger, you know something about the Packers, right?
Little.
Okay.
So let me get it straight. You're saying that the whole thing about the body length is overblown.
I didn't say that at all.
Well, let me get to this.
You're saying he had a right to be like that. Is that what you're saying?
I think you're seeing what everyone else saw, what I saw, and I think, does he have a right to or not? That's debatable. I think if you say to me, you know, Tom, you make $10 million a year, you know, you're not in the caves in Afghanistan, your life ain't that hard, buck up and start leading this team again, I think you've got a case if you say that. But my feeling is, my counter to that is, he is a human being. And when situations around him conspire to put him in far less than the best place to succeed, and he's showing that, Makes
yeah,
a human
and that's
being.
My point. Is, couldn't it just be frustration? You've seen the look on Brett Favre's face when he hasn't had receivers to throw to, kind of that like,
yeah,
what am I supposed to do with these people?
Well, here's the difference,
that's the,
too.
That's the feeling I got. It's the, you know, where do they want me to throw the football?
See,
these guys
me,
aren't open.
To me, I don't let Favre off the hook because...
No, I'm not letting him off. I'm just saying he had that kind of same look of, you know,
Yeah, sure. And let me tell you what compounds it with Brady. In the offseason, Brett Favre is on his lawnmower in Mississippi, and he comes back to Green Bay 2 or 3 days the whole offseason,
right,
and is on his own program and doesn't really, is not driven and committed like Tom Brady is. Tom Brady is here as much as anyone. We all know the drill, and yet he's not being put in the best position to succeed. I think it compounds it for him.
All right, let's take a break here. When we come back, Mike's going to be talking with Troy Brown.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. Relive these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good,
it is good.
How about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
Gonna be sacked, Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
And it's the Mike Felger Show here on 890 ESPN Patriots Friday, live from Gillette Stadium, as we are every single Friday, and we're thrilled right now to be joined by veteran receiver Troy Brown. Troy, just off the practice field, how you doing? Hold on 1 second. Let me hit this for you. There you go. Let's try it again. How you doing?
Doing good.
Excellent. How was practice out there?
I was all right. You know, it was good. Went through a lot of things, a lot of assignments, and corrected a few things, and then practiced on some red zone stuff today, and, you know, the usual Friday.
So tell my listeners what Fridays are like. I mean, each day is a sort of different day. You do different things each day. Fridays is a day for what?
Well, Fridays, it's a shorter day for us. We come in... like 7:30, our captain's meeting is at 7:30. Then we have a team meeting at 8:00. Then we go into offense and defensive meetings, and we go to special teams. Then we go to offense and defensive meetings after that. Then we have like 45 minutes to get a little lift in, and then we go out to the field and do our walkthrough, and we go right into practice. And it's more of a red zone day and a review day for us. So we don't do red zone all week, and then we do it on Fridays and get those plays in. Then we go back, you know, over the course of Wednesday and Thursday, and hit all of our first and second third down plays, and then we move the field with kind of a combination of both of those again, first, second, and third down, and that's pretty much it. And then we do our field goal at the end of the day, and then we're in here by 1:30.
So it's more Friday's more situational, where Wednesday and Thursday you're really installing game plan.
Yeah, well, we're installing like Friday's installed for red zone, and
I see.
Thursday's for third down, and you know, Wednesday's for just whatever first down stuff, and a lot of the running game goes in on first down, short yardage, that type of stuff. So we kind of hit it all, you know, during the course of the week.
Tell me about the captain's meetings. These fascinate me. This is what I understand is a free flow, a free exchange of ideas between Belichick and you guys, the captains.
We're kind of the players' voices, you know, and it's something they need, especially football-wise, and they don't feel comfortable going and talking to Bill about it. They talk to us about it, and we kind of relay it to Bill and get his thoughts on it, and we voice our opinion about it. And you know, most of the time, he wins those. But you know, he's the head man. You know, so but you have to voice your opinion on certain things that we may or may not like. And then he kind of gives us his reason why this is this way and this is that way. And I mean, this is why it is. And then he may come into the meeting with the team, and he may talk about it then. You know, we talk about how things went during the course of the week, and where you think we are as a team, and. Just and then those little things, you know. Do we need a TV in here? You know, the bathroom staying clean? You know, just small stuff like that too. So just, you know, little things that we need to make it a little more comfortable for us around here, just to concentrate on football.
Can you give me an example from maybe past years? That's now, you know, it's not going to get, you're not betraying any secrets now, of a specific issue that you needed addressed and you brought to the captain's meeting and it was addressed.
Well, I mean, like something small or something football-wise. I mean, just
something.
It's just like, I mean, in the bathrooms, we had the new bathrooms here, and there were no actual vents to get out some of the, you know, some big guys in there. They can, they can move some waste, you know. So they were actually no vents in there, no air fresheners in there. So we kind of just had to. One of the first things we had to address when we moved here, you know, when we moved here was
vents.
You know, how to keep that a little fresher and cleaner in there, you know. But so just things like that, you know, that goes down, you know.
Do you guys do game plan things too in those meetings? I mean, if you can speak for the receivers. If you hear among the receiving group that this thing that they're asking you to do this week isn't going to work, is that captain's meeting?
Well, of course. I mean, somebody may not feel comfortable doing this or that, or you may see something on your own that, you know, so-and-so, you know, if they're scared to say something to me about it, anybody else about it, you know, you may notice it, and you just kind of relay it to Bill, and, you know, we kind of get it fixed, you know.
So was China on the agenda?
We hadn't talked about China yet, you know, so...
How do you think the guys feel about it? Honestly, Troy, how do you guys feel about it?
I don't know. Maybe some guys like traveling. I'm not one of them. I don't want to be on the plane for an hour. So let alone for, 27 hours or whatever it is take to get over there. So we'll see what happens with that one. You know, I don't know. That's quite a trip to go to play some football. That's a road trip.
Well, you know, it's also, Troy, a fifth preseason game now, which means an extra 7 to 10 days of training camp. I mean, are all the guys aware of that?
Well, I know I am. You know, that's you know, the guys hate the preseason game, you know, and but that's part of our league, and, you know, and that's part of what they like to do is, you know, get guys ready to play and, you know, and can make some money and all that good stuff too. So, but, you know, I mean, I don't know. It may turn out to be fun. You never
know. How can you guys make money over there? I thought you guys didn't get
paid. Well, I get paid the same thing. I mean, you know, it's for the league can make money, you know, but we get paid the same thing. We make a little bit of money, so we're not doing it for free, but we get paid a little
bit. So you guys are concerned about making the league more money? I don't believe that.
We're concerned about getting out of the preseason healthy. So that's the biggest thing, you know.
It's Troy Brown here on Patriots Friday, 890 ESPN. Let's just take a little quick look back at last week's game. Huge topic of discussion this week, Troy, was Tom Brady, his frustration level, his body language, the way he carried himself. The consensus is that he just did not seem to have the same fire in his eye, didn't seem to be the same guy on the field in that game last Sunday night. Yes or no?
I think it was probably all of us, you know, and for whatever reason, it's been this particular team that we've always looked that way, you know, and I don't know what it is, you know, we just weren't able to get over the hump with those guys. I mean, I thought we, you know, hung in there and we played them tough for a while, and then we just couldn't make the plays that we needed to make, and then we gave up some on defense, you know, and then they were just up big, and then it's gotten to their, pretty much their prevent defense and just held everything in front of them, and it's made it hard for us to catch up. But, you know, I didn't think he, you know, really showed it. I didn't really notice his frustration, you know, myself, you know, but I think we all were frustrated to a point to where we just couldn't get over the hump. We had to make that big play. And then you feel like you're so close on certain plays and then you just can't make them. And so it's definitely frustrating for all of us. So I don't think it was just him. It was probably, you know, the coaches and the players also were, you know, kind of frustrated about the lack of ability to make the plays we needed to make.
Do you sense that he's down at all about having to start over with a whole new group of receivers? Obviously, he knows you as well as anyone, but that's about it, Troy.
No, I think he's made a conscious effort to come in here and have a good attitude, you know. And he's always the first one to say we got to play with the guys we got, you know. And so he's made a conscious effort, you know, not to, you know, bring a negative attitude towards what the situation, you know. But, you know, it is what it is, and we're growing, we're getting better, you know. And you're not gonna build it overnight, you know. But as long as we're showing some progress, I think we're going to be okay, you know, and the guys are really working hard to get better.
What's the adjustment for you been? Now, a couple of years ago, you wondered, worried, whether you were going to make this team, and I think that I know you feel that way every year, Troy, but this year you were going to make this team. I mean, it was just obvious to everyone. 2 years ago, maybe we all looked at that and said, ooh, maybe
to you it was obvious, but I mean, you know, I don't like to think that way, you know, and that's when you get in trouble when you start thinking you got it made, you know, but I still had to come in here and fight for a spot, you know, and nobody knew what Deion's situation was going to be, you know, but I always come in, I prepared like I'm going to be a starter, you know, and it may or may not happen, but, you know, I try to have myself ready for those situations, and, you know, because you never know when a guy might get hurt, even if you're not starting, you know, you might have to step in and do some things you kind of weren't used to, you know, over the last few years, and, you know, so I kind of had myself ready for that situation, you know, and after the whole Deion thing, it was drug out, you know, through the whole preseason and into the first week, you know, so I was physically ready to go, you know, but still, I mean, you still got to have everybody on the same page. It's a team game. You know, I had new guys in different spots, and you can and can't do this, you cannot do that, you can't do this, you know, so it's kind of, you know, you gotta move your chess pieces in a different direction.
I guess my question is, Troy, that a lot of times now, you are probably the first option, where 2 or 3 years ago, not, I mean, you were playing mostly defensive back 2 and 3 years ago. So, I mean, your role has evolved back to the place where you're one of the most relied upon guys. Has that been a challenge for you, a welcome thing for you? Are you as...
It's always a challenge, you know, especially when you're doing something new. You're thrown into a new role or a different role that you're really not used to. So I have to pick it up mentally more than anything else, you know, because, I mean, as you know, his schemes defensively can be pretty complicated. And then some of our plays on offense can be a little, you know, complicated from week to week because they do change. The formations change and the motions change. And you got to read if they're playing what coverage, why you're in the middle of the route and break it this way, break it that way. So, I mean, it does become a challenge for me. Can I process all this stuff in my head, you know, mentally by the time it's time for the game, you know. And so it's definitely something that, you know, keeps me driving, you know, and keeps me in this game and keeps me wanting to play every week, you know. So, but having to go back, you know, to playing outside and, you know, playing in two tight sets, mm-hmm. you know, all that stuff, you know, yeah, it does, you know, kind of energizes me a little bit and make me want to do well at it.
How about that flea flicker play that was real close to being hit? Yeah, do you think you should have had it?
Oh, of course.
When you look back, do you say, I should have had that one?
If I can put a fingernail on the ball, you know, I should have caught it. You know, so that's just, you know, I think that's what, you know, it's made me better in the past, too, is that, you know, if I can touch it, you know, I always tell Tom any ball in my direction is a good throw. It can be a mile high, it can be in the dirt, you know, but any ball in my direction is a good throw. You just keep throwing them.
All right, Troy, I see the injury report, see Eugene dinged up, see Ellis Hobbs dinged up. I see them trying out all these defensive backs on the street. You've been wearing a white or blue jersey this week.
I've had the white jersey on.
All right.
I should have worn it here so you could see it. So. But, no, I had the white jersey on this week, you know, so.
But you're always, obviously, always been ready to
play. You never know what might happen. You know, they had a Ram game. I just came off injury reserve, I think. I mean, off of the injured list. And I think I was dressed up for the Pittsburgh game, didn't play very much. And then I came in for the Rams. And 2 plays into the game, I was thrown in, you know, 3rd and 6 or whatever it was, you know.
Well, so. You know, Troy, that game, I was just saying to Fred that I think that win was one of the best wins you've had here as a team. Certainly regular season win. Since, you know, the last 5 or 6 years, you just, you know, Ty had gotten, you know, he tore up his foot the week before in Pittsburgh, I believe. Yeah. And it was just when, I think, Randall started his first game and you were in there as a third down guy and you went in and you just killed the Rams. It was a great win. And I sort of equate your situation this week to that, that it's going to take an effort like that. I mean, you think you got to put a lot
it's
of points
take it. I mean, this is definitely a good football team. Without a doubt, I think you guys watched the game last week and they were kind of, you know, Pittsburgh went up 7-0. They were kind of back and forth there for a little bit. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's 28-14, whatever the score was. And they just putting up points and guys making circus catches. And, I mean, they're just a very explosive team that can score any time they get ready. And then defensively, I mean, they've got, what, like 9-10 turnovers already, you know. So it's just it's a very talented team. And they can make plays on both sides of the balls and in the special teams game. They can make a lot of plays. So. You gotta bring your A game this week, and we're gonna need everybody to get ready to play and play their roles and do them well.
Troy, not to give away game plan secrets, but I think there's two routes you can take, and one is try and just beat them in a shootout. You know, throw the ball up and down the field, try and beat them at their own game, or play that clock control ground game sort of thing. What, you know, as you look at the Bengals, is one more attractive looking to you than the other?
Well, I mean, like nobody shut them out, you know. So, I mean, this is a team that can put some points on the board, and they can do it in a hurry, and they can do it in a big way. You know, they can go the long way, they can go the short way. They got Rudy running the ball for them, and, you know, so we're definitely going to have to score some points, you know, and we can just kind of control them a little bit, you know, on their side of the ball. You know, it'll give us the best chance to try to win the game, you know. I mean, expecting to go in there and shut them out, you know, is going to be you know, it's a little unrealistic with those guys that they have and all the talent they got on offense there. And so we just got to kind of control them and try to take advantage of our chances when we have a chance to score and hit them.
Okay, Troy Brown, Patriots receiver, still this week. Thanks for stopping by, Troy. Good luck this week.
Thank you.
Okay, Troy Brown.
Thank you.
Okay.